This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former Greenskeeper now about to become the Masters Champion.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk?
Mr. Gilmore, I'm your caddy.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. No, let me carry these, all right? They're my grandfather's.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the fifth episode of the Who's Your Caddy podcast. We have an exciting episode this week, a lot to talk about. But before we dive into that, I want to announce our newest hire, new co-host, special guest from last week, Jack Cummings. We received a lot of feedback. We worked with his management team and we were able to get the contract inked earlier this week. Mm-hmm. So yep. Jack, you'll be seeing a lot more of him.
Well, I appreciate it, Mac, and I'm really excited to join the team here at Who's Your Caddy. Really just excited and honestly honored to come on full time.
Absolutely.
We got a fun guest this week now, don't we, Mac?
We do. We have freshman phenom at the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers, Lincoln Johnson. Lincoln, great to have you on.
Yeah, boys, I appreciate the opportunity. I know the pod's starting to blow up now, and I'm excited to be on.
Today on the pod, we're going to talk about the Genesis Open. J.B. Holmes taking home the trophy over JT. Yeah. Rain, you know, obviously made this event a little more of a hassle to try to, you know, keep track of.
A little dicey.
A couple other shout-outs. We had our good friend of the pod, Miguel Angel Jimenez, taking home the Chubb Classic.
That's fantastic.
Playoff win for him. That's good to see him back in the circle. Also,
great friend of the pod.
Oh, yeah. Happy Gilmore, 23rd anniversary, little shout-out. Obviously, you know, one of our inspirations for doing the pod.
Well, gentlemen, I want to give you a little bit of background on our special guest this week. We have Lincoln Johnson, 19 years old, like mentioned. Good friend of the pod. He's a fellow Gopher, freshman. Don't really need to, most of you know who he is, but number one high school ranked player in Minnesota last year. Lowest round for the Gophers this fall. What was that? A little smooth little 65 down in Arizona. Yep, down in Arizona. Been to two U.S. Junior AMs. We've had a good run at Resorters one time. Just a quick snippet. Lincoln was coming through nine holes. He was four down through nine holes, match play tournament, and shot 29 on the back to win on 18. Pretty sweet stuff. But without further ado, Lincoln, how you feeling?
Feeling good, guys. You know, really honored to be on the pod. I know it was tough to get a hold of my management team and get this set up, but I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we were able to work with your agent to get you on such short notice. You know, I know all the listeners are wondering, in summer tournaments, you know, Who's Your Caddy podcast? Who you have on the loop?
You know, that's a tough one, boys. It's slim picking nowadays, but I'm taking Jack Cummings. Huge vocal guy. He's not scared to call you off. He's going to provide some good management issues. He's going to tell you what club to hit. He's all that.
He's not afraid to yell at some fans if they're mouthing off, too.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, I'll get right in there.
Okay. He will.
Well, enough of pumping my tires. Let's get into it. Let's talk about the Genesis, should we, boys?
That's right. Rain-shortened event. Or actually, not rain-shortened, but obviously play was canceled on Thursday for most
that
of the day.
That made it a little dicey the
it
whole
was
weekend.
Tough to follow.
On, off, on, off. I know I was talking about betting at work.
Mm-hmm.
And how fun that is on Thursdays and Fridays to have that rush while you're at your cubicle.
That's
fantastic
right.
Stuff. But what really was getting me was all these rain delays, suspension. I mean, my matchups weren't close. My Thursday matchups weren't closing until Friday. It was a disaster.
Mm-hmm. I know the Who's Your Caddy podcast was rooting for JT down the stretch. JB Holmes took it home. Lincoln, I mean, you're watching some of these guys, some of your peers out there. You know, we like to ask this with most of our guests, you know, on Sunday afternoon, call it the Masters, call it the Genesis Open. Who are your top three guys that you're pulling for
on
a weekend?
Who do you want out there and why?
Yeah.
So back on this Genesis, JT, I was really pulling for him down the stretch. Huge JT fan. Short guy, hits the ball a mile. Unbelievably good sty. That's one reason
great
why
sty.
I'm...
How about sty. How about that rain suit? That,
huge camo rain suit, really blending in out there.
Yeah, that's unreal.
Number two, I'm taking Tiger Woods.
Nice.
Tiger, huge fan.
Yep.
Always have been.
So you're pulling JT over Tiger?
I am.
Wow.
Making the transition.
Okay. Young crowd, I'm taking the youngling.
Okay.
I like that.
Tiger, obviously, enough said about him. Yeah. No reason to.
Yeah.
And then my third guy, I'm taking Rory.
Rory, okay.
Like packs that. A punch.
I thought you'd be more of a Spieth guy, but
you
no.
You know, I kind of was for here and there when he was in his when he was peaking, but
Rory has way more pop.
Way more pop.
I'm, now that we brought him up, let me just get right into what I need to talk about right now.
Yep.
Guys, I'm hurt. I'm sad. I bet a lot of, I mean, some of you follow me on Twitter as well. I really put all my eggs into Spieth at one point this weekend.
He fell apart.
He didn't just fall apart. He shot 81 on Sunday. 8-1. Yep. Couldn't break 80. Highest PGA round of his career. I bet the farm. I'm hurt right now. But that being said, when you get knocked down, you just got to get back up. I'm going to lay bets this weekend. They're going to be cash. Cash them in.
Absolutely. No, and I hate to say this, but I think I did call the collapse out of Spieth. The first round, 7 under par, 21 putts, a couple chip-ins in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not sustainable golf at the highest level.
And now that we're reflecting on Genesis right now, I'll say two things. Adam Scott, Finau. Those of you that have been listening day in, day out, I ticked those guys last week. Money bets. You're welcome.
They played well. All right. You're welcome. Tiger Woods tied for 15th. What do we have? What takeaways do we have on that?
I mean, I was waking up today a little hungover, sad.
A little overserved.
In the overserved Sunday scary stuff going on.
Yep.
And I go ahead, I open up my phone, and I see Tiger Woods sticking a 3-iron to 4 feet, make an eagle.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't know if it's his age or what it is, but he seems to be out of gas in some of these tournaments. And I know it's 45, 50 degrees. You know, they're in L.A. I don't know what he's doing at night. I mean, we talked about last week, we were worried about
sex.
We were worried about, you know, the ex-girlfriends that lived in the area. Yeah. And so I don't know if that affected his play. I'm going to lean towards the yes side on that. Uh-huh. But he did show some signs of greatness like he always does.
I agree. Any thoughts there?
Tiger played phenomenal this week. Don't know how I feel about the sleeves play. Huge vest. That was crucial. But
you're talking style.
Style. Okay. All right. Sleeves. I think that kind of threw off his mojo a little bit this week.
So what? Okay, a lot of guys are wondering too. Golden Gopher golf. What's your style out there? I mean, you guys got some good looking unis. What do you got going?
So we got our standard maroon shirt.
Yep.
Same with the gold standard. And then we got a gray mock. We're going no collar.
No
mock collar.
No collar.
That seems casual.
Casual. Very casual.
What color bag do you have this year?
Maroon bags.
Maroon bag. Okay.
Quick story about the mock. We actually got told that we might need to leave a club because we weren't wearing a collar. Wearing our mock.
That's dicey.
Really?
Dicey.
Really
wow.
dicey.
Wow.
Is it the whole Nike mock type of look?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Wow.
Hey,
Speaking about the bag.
Okay.
You know, 2019, you're working with your management team. I mean, what's in the bag? We had a lot of response from Jack Cummings wanting to take out the 3-wood last week.
We'll get back
into that. A lot of hatred.
We'll get back into
that. Coming from that. But, Link, what's in the bag for 19?
So, kind of twirling around right now, kind of on the same topic as Jack with this whole 3-wood play.
And I like this insight, so this is useful.
I'm gonna keep the 3-wood in the bag, but it's the hybrid driving iron that is very controversial.
Okay.
Gonna be one of those things.
What type of 3-wood is it? You know, standard 15-degree 3-wood?
Standard 15-degree 3-wood, yep.
Yeah.
I mean, how far are we bucking that off the tee?
Off the tee, we can reach 295, but we can also bunt it out there 265, need be.
Well, Jesus, if I could hit a 3-wood 295 too, I'd probably keep it in the bag.
So I was checking the Big Ten leaderboards from a couple of weeks back, and it looks like you whacked some guy 8-6.
Eight and seven.
Believe it was
this guy barely Michigan got to. Player. Barely got to enjoy his back nine.
Can you go lights out? Can you talk?
Played pretty steady golf there. The guy, funny story, runs out of ball 6 holes in.
Oh. College golfer runs out of golf.
Runs out of golf balls.
Come on.
He's got to call his coaches. He's got to get everybody on this. He needs more golf balls.
He's panicking.
I offered some golf balls of mine. They did have an M on it, just the wrong colors. But he was not taking that. He was waiting for his balls. But this guy was all over the planet. Come on. He was topping it. He was hitting laterals, everything, A to Z.
No way.
Wow. Yeah.
But you waxed him pretty good.
Yep, 8-7, took it home.
And
nice. Talk a little bit about the course. What was the course like? Is it, you know, tough track, obviously, Minnesota winters, you know,
yep.
coming out cold. How'd you play, and what was the course like?
Pretty generous course off the tee, as the fairways were pretty big.
Okay.
Unfortunately, if you found yourself in a fairway bunker, you were hacking it out and not necessarily getting yourself up to the green. First day was very, very nice. No
wind.
What
was the course called?
The Conservatory.
Conservatory, okay.
Yep.
I got a good question for you, too. Now that we're on it, and I don't know which tournament, would this have been University of Texas's tournament, or you were down in
Texas? Yep, down in Dallas. Yep.
Dallas National area.
Mm-hmm.
And you're practicing at Dallas National, right?
Correct.
And you're hitting balls next to Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes.
So, I mean, let's talk about it. DeChambeau, good friend of the pod.
Controversial friend of the pod.
What was his action like? Did he like his swing? Was he hitting it well? What kind of guy was he?
You know, boys, you know, going into this, I wasn't a huge Bryson fan. You know, the guy's kind of a wacko with this whole golf ball weighing stuff, same length clubs. That's not right.
That's weird.
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 But more I got to know this guy, watched this guy hit balls. I mean, he was chirping the team. He was loving life, hitting three woods like it was no tomorrow. I was a huge fan.
When we were working with your management team, it sounds like you guys have exchanged a couple messages back and forth since that.
You might have, right?
Yeah, when he was winning, doing his tear there in the fall, I gave him a couple messages here and there about how he's doing, and he reached out.
Nice. So it sounds like a good guy.
Great guy. Phenomenal.
And his actions, it's good. It's pure?
It's pure. You know, the same length club thing was kind of throwing me off, but watching him hit balls, Jack, his action, man, it's textbook.
No, that's good to hear.
All right, well, let's wrap up.
Yeah, let's.
We got a little sidetracked there, but we do want to touch on the Genesis. I mean, obviously, you know, there's not a ton to talk about. JT, what'd you think of his putter? You know, he had a 4-putt on.
Kind of a collapse coming in.
Yeah. And then another 3-putt in there. I mean, do you blame that on?
Did he have a 4-putt? Was that a 4-putt out there?
It was a 4-putt.
4-putt. I mean, losing the tournament by one stroke and missing the putts he did today.
Shot 5 over.
It's inexcusable.
I mean, it wasn't a Spieth 10 over, but it was a solid 7-6.
I mean, that's a choke.
It's a choked. Choke. Okay.
And I don't like saying that.
Okay.
One being that I had money on him. Two being, you don't want to see a good friend of the pod like that go down.
And Rory actually, you know, thought he was out of the tournament, made a little bit of a scare on the back nine.
Yeah.
Hold out the same bunker that Tiger holed out of.
Yeah.
On the par three. Couldn't, you know, kind of a weak bogey at the last.
What was that bogey?
Adam Scott, I don't know. Adam Scott played well all week. Yeah. Well, I mean, he had some bogeys on Sunday too. Just not a lot of stellar golf to talk about. What'd you think, Link?
Yeah, Link, what'd you think?
You know, I thought it was kind of up and down. There was bursts where we thought Tiger was going to make a charge, got up to fifth at one point, and then he started going downhill.
Agreed.
Some miraculous recovery shots this week, I thought, boys. You know, it was very, very fun to watch.
It was. The leaderboard looked, and me last night, I'm looking at this leaderboard going, holy shit, this is going to be a great Sunday to watch golf, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the play on Sunday, in my eyes, from everyone across the board, no one went out there and said, I'm winning this fucking golf tournament.
No.
It was just kind of steady.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So... But you can't be complaining when you got T. Woods, Adam Scott, JT. I mean, the list goes on and on about people in the top 20. So that's great to see that on the leaderboard. It is tough, however, watching JB Holmes hit the golf ball that many times when he's in comparison with your JT and with your Adam Scott. And then you got to see that hack job go up there.
I don't know. I mean, Adam Scott was playing with JB. And last week, Adam Scott was saying that he wants the tour to make an example of him by giving him a penalty for slow play. And I don't know if there are many guys for him to be paired with that play slower than JB Holmes. I mean, this guy's waggles. I saw one of the videos on PGA Tour. I think they posted it was like a minute and 26 seconds that he's looking at this putt. He's checking his books. I don't know what he's doing out there.
Come on.
But at some point, you got to hit the ball.
And that's pathetic. And then he had the... And he's doing that, and then we got the TV on him all day today, and you got the gross beard, the gross hair. Everything was disgusting about it. No one wanted J.B. Holmes to come out and win this thing.
Nobody did. Other notable, Siwoo Kim, good week, solo third. DJ, kind of a backdoor top 10. Didn't play well at the start. Ended up taking tied for ninth. Xander Schauffele, 6 under. Over the weekend, we did have a lot of fan submissions, a lot of people DMing us, sending us tweets, a lot of social media, little clips here and there that were great at the Genesis Open. I want to give a shout out to Peter Malnati. Has the balls. He played with Tiger Woods to wear a bucket hat. Looked fantastic there. He's wearing a bucket with Tiger. Played okay, but, I mean, if you're grouped with Tiger and you're pulling the bucket hat off your rack when you walk out the door,
that's a statement.
That's some stones. That's, and I know, bold statement. I know Link's a big Sty guy, so I had to give a shout-out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I received multiple tweets, DM, stuff like that, on JT's just hosel shank on.
Straight shank.
Was that on?
Would have been round three, I believe.
Round three. Yeah, just a hosel shank, right? Somehow makes a godly par. But, yeah, I mean, that was right off the heel. That was 90 degrees right. And then, I mean, there was a few of them. I mean, Tiger had one.
I mean, Tiger hooked a chip. Yep. He's stymied behind a tree, and he's 10 yards out and hooks a chip, tapping par.
That's a notable highlight. And then
And then, you know, one of the craziest things, too, I don't think a lot of people saw it, but Phil hit, you know, classic Phil, 50, 60-yard shot, hits it over the grandstands. He's playing with Spieth. Spieth doesn't even realize that Phil's hitting. Spieth is about 10 feet from the hole, almost hits him.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, I'm sure Phil went on and made the putt. Mm-hmm. But Spieth was standing on the green, and Phil's taking a full swing shot from 60 yards, almost hits him. What's he thinking?
Yeah, I mean, he almost got piped, but...
You know, Jordan did need that extra time on the green. You know, he wasn't putting well this week. It is what it is.
I think he's kind of a head case. Tough 81. What was that?
Yeah.
Well,
that being said, overall, you know, decent week. Always good to be at Riviera. What a great course.
Well, we did a little bit of some preliminary research coming into the pod this week. And, Link, we saw you played with Matt Wolf in the U.S. Junior Am 2017 at Flint Hills. Talk us through that. What's his action like? I mean, it's Matthew Wolf. This guy's got a ton of hype. Did you enjoy it? Tell us about it.
So, yeah, Jacko, I was honored to be in a practice round with him. Needless to say, I did not know at the time he was going to become this phenom. But great action. You know, a lot of people were hating on it, but he's putting up results. I think he won 5 times on the college golf circuit this fall.
Probably the most hyped prospect since Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Bo Hostler was really hyped. Too. He was really hyped. Question, though. So that was 2017. Was he still in high school?
Yes, he was still in high school. He was a senior in high school.
Okay. And he's from, do we even know where he's from?
From California.
He is?
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy. I mean, was he talking?
Good guy, yeah. Very talkative. You know, nice. He's a beauty.
Yeah. Just rips the ball, though.
Just absolutely puts a move on the ball.
Kills it.
I mean, so, probably averages 330 out there.
Yeah, I mean, it was noted at the Phoenix Open. He was out there with the big hitters like Champ. He was averaging 335 off the tee.
And how far can we pump it?
I mean, we're right around 300, but nowhere near this guy.
Okay, got it.
So, like, we want to get in a little more into the college golf scene. We were talking with a couple of your teammates just as, you know, preliminary to this pod.
Yeah.
Noel Rosinski had some good stories, but I don't want to steal any thunder. You know, are there any stories out there on the track, off the track, with some of the teammates and the camaraderie that you're seeing on the D1 stage?
Yeah.
Funny story, you know, back 2 weeks ago, we had our first tournament of the spring, and we're sitting on a par three, and I'm with my teammate, Noah Rosinski, and it's a little...
Good friend of the pod.
Great friend of the pod. You know, it's a little bit of a wait. There was some dicey groups ahead of us. Okay. We didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
But Noah's sitting on the tee, and this guy starts looking in his bag to see what he's hitting.
Just checking it out,
you know, totally legal.
Yeah.
But Noah sees this going on, and he's not liking it. So he goes back to the bag and grabs a new club. I found out later on, Noah went and grabbed a 6-iron, which is probably a 200, 205 club.
Yeah.
This hole was 150 yards.
Come on.
Dead serious.
Took out a six.
Took out a six iron. Downwind. Noah hits it to 3 feet, makes birdie. But the guy that was looking in his bag sees Noah hit six iron, and he's thinking, what is this whack job doing?
Uh-huh.
So he grabs a seven iron, airmails the green.
Just air bucket.
Airmail.
Come on.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy That's, stuff.
That is crazy. You think he did it with the sole purpose of, I'm going to fuck with this guy's head?
Oh, totally. I was right after him. I was hitting pitching wedge, and this guy's hitting six iron.
That's awesome.
That's just good gamesmanship.
That's what it's all about.
So, Link, fresh off the high school stage, obviously, like we said earlier, ranked number one in the state. How did you, how did you pick the Gophers? When did you get in touch with Coach Carlson? Was it always your goal to play there? Where else were you looking? Walk me through some of that.
Yep.
So I'll try and sum this up as fast as I can, but I kind of got off to a slow start beginning my high school years. I started reaching out to coaches my sophomore year, I believe. And growing up in Minnesota, I kind of idolized the Gophers and wanted to be there. But the reality was sometimes that those things just don't work out. But I pursued it. Got a little dicey here and there. Wasn't know if they're interested or not. But I started reaching out to other coaches. I reached out down south to Arizona, GCU. Then I went all the way to the West Coast and Gonzaga. And kind of just sticking around Big Ten. But when the opportunity came to play for Minnesota, I couldn't pass it up.
Jumped all over it.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. And obviously a program that's rich in tradition. Outside of that, though, I mean, the college route is fantastic. Why don't you just flip the switch and go pro like Rory?
Yeah, why aren't, Lincoln, what? Put it this way, why am I not quitting my day job and you and me go full throttle, duo, caddy, player, pro? What's going on?
You know, Jacko, seems now that the steps to becoming pro have become a little bit more dicey.
Yep.
You know, college golf, it's kind of a good prep stage to learn some fundamentals. And I think it's just a maturity thing.
We'll stay patient.
Okay. Stay patient, definitely. Yep.
So me and Mac, we got a few questions. We just want to run by you.
Mm-hmm. Mac, quick hits section.
Yeah, quick here. Hits. Totally. I mean go right away. So
all
right. We want these...
First couple questions.
In, out, in, out, in, out.
What's your favorite track and what's your low round?
Here we go.
Favorite track, Flint Hills National down in Kansas where I played the Junior Am.
Shout out, Evan Sidoransky.
Low round, 64 at Deer Run National in Victoria, Minnesota.
Deer Run National, okay. I got a few would you rathers. Got a few would you rathers right now. First one, quick, easy. Southwest turf versus Southeast turf. Go. Golf.
Southwest.
Southwest. Would you rather play on tour with a chest putter, but you follow the rules and or use FootJoy golf sandals?
FootJoy golf sandals.
Got it. Would you rather use a Strixon ball or wear a Puma golf belt on tour?
I'm going to go with the Strixon ball, the Cam Champ route.
You would play a Strixon ball out there, huh?
I mean, the Puma belt is exceptional, don't get me wrong. Tough, though. Very tough.
Have you ever considered going the Ricky Fowler route with the 59 belt buckle?
You know, funny you say that, Mac. We actually have a 59 belt at the U of M for
holy cocky
players, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have to shoot it to wear it?
You got to shoot in the 60s in order to earn it.
Okay.
Safe to say he's got one.
Okay.
Right.
I do have one.
How do you decide when you're going to wear that and when you're not going to wear that?
You know, it all depends. If it's a white belt day, I'll maybe throw it on here and there. It's more of a wake up in the morning, how you're feeling type thing.
Okay, so if you're feeling like you're going low, you're throwing it on.
Definitely.
Okay. I got a good question for you. Biggest pet peeve in college golf when you're playing with someone?
Slow play.
Second.
Hate it.
What's the second?
Second would be when people don't talk. They just go mute.
You like the chatters. You like the on-course conversations.
Yes, I hate the mute now, guys that go
deep,
dark.
How deep do you get into that? I go both ways on like every round. Sometimes I'm opening my heart, telling guys about my ex-girlfriend. The next time, I'm absolutely mute on a guy. I mean, where do you engage in that?
I mean, Jack, you got it. You nailed it. It's a crossroads. You don't know where you're going to go with it. I think you hit it off right there where you either go deep or you go dark. Yeah. There's no in between.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these rounds, you know, college golf, you're playing 36 holes. Sometimes you're out on the track with these guys for 8-10 hours.
It's tough.
How do you, I mean, what types of things are you guys talking about there? Obviously, there can be a little language barrier with some of these guys that, you know, are you know, foreign exchange students. Some of them are great golfers. Maybe they don't even speak English. What are you guys talking about out there?
Yeah, what are you guys chatting?
You know, the first 18 holes, obviously, you said, Mac, long days out there. You got to start slow. Name, school, where you're from, pretty basic stuff.
But by hole 18, you're talking about girls. You're talking about
the whole nine yards. Stuff. Yes, yes. It, it gets fantastic. Down and dirty.
Yep.
Okay.
You feel like after you finish 18 holes, this is where I'll leave it. You really feel like if the guy was personable enough, you feel like you really got to know the guy.
Yeah.
After those 5 hours. So.
So, I mean, as we speak here, we're watching some clips on Adam Scott. Obviously one of the best swings on the planet. Mm-hmm. Do you use a swing coach? Do you, you know, kind of go in between? What's your off-season process like from that aspect?
So I kind of have a swing coach that I've been working with since I was in seventh grade, I believe. Haven't done much tinkering with my swing. I'm kind of pretty basic, going to keep it simple. Just get the ball in the hole like Brooks Koepka says. But you know what? We really don't like to get into the weeds on some of those subjects.
Okay. Are you a blade or a mallet guy?
Huge blade guy. Tried the mallet route. Didn't really work out.
Okay. And you talked about this before. What do you have right now in your bag, the hybrid or the 2-iron?
Right now, I'm taking the hybrid.
Okay.
Can go short, it can go far, it can go low, high. It covers a lot of different shots.
And okay. I'm going to come out and say, I don't like that.
That's okay.
I don't love that.
That's okay.
Because I've seen you hit driver off the deck. I've seen you hit your 2-irons. I've seen you hit your 3-woods. You don't need a hybrid, but let's leave it at that. The viewers don't want to get into the weeds of it. So should we head into the caddy shack here?
All right, so coming up this week, we have the WGC Mexico Championships at Club de Golf Chapultepec. Heck of a track, a little bit of an elevation issue for some of these guys. Last year, Phil won in a playoff over JT. Mm-hmm. Link, you know, actually, a disclaimer, as we're recording this podcast, we're still waiting for the odds to come out.
Yep,
stay tuned on social media.
Yep.
Matty Ice, myself, and Jack will be posting our picks, the odds. But for now, we're just going to go with who we like this week.
Outrights.
Outright winners. Link.
Also, hold on. Before we even get into him, this guy's playing Division I golf, NCAA rules. We know you're not betting. We just want to hear who you like. We know you're not betting.
Yes. Obviously, boys, keep in mind I'm not a betting man. But if I were to take – I'm going to go rogue this week. I'm going to take some dark horses.
Okay.
International venue.
Come on.
I'm taking Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay.
I'm taking Louis Oosthuizen, and then I'm going Eric Van Rooyen. Sidetrack. Eric was in our brand new practice facility last week. I hit balls with him for a week, putted and chipped with him. Game's looking spectacular. Unreal action.
Tell us about the action. I mean,
it's fluent. It's spectacular.
Is it fast?
It's slow. It's A to Z, whatever you want it to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Guy has great style. The Nike sponsorship is fantastic.
He was, what year did he graduate from the U? He was,
I think he was 2012, I want to say. Somewhere in that ballpark.
Golfer alum, fan of the pod, good friend.
That's my takes, boys.
Okay. I like it. You went all Euro on us. I went the other route. I'll talk a little bit about it. First one, right out the gut. You're going to get them at great odds. I mean, I'm talking plus 700, maybe flirting around plus 1,000. Let's go ahead and grab Sergio. And I'll tell you a little bit about it. Sergio, he had what we would call, Lincoln, what were we calling that back in Saudi?
We're calling that a bug out.
Bug out in Saudi Arabia. Flashlights, it's all off of him. It's all on Kuchar with his what have you, with his caddy. I like Sergio. His game's in the right direction. Played well last year. He got a tied for seventh last year. I like Sergio. Rafa Cabrero Bello. He snuck in a little sneaky, tied for third last year, shot 15 under. Love him coming in. Another one. This is a value bet. This is one you lay down 10 bucks, you're going to win $400 or $500. Pat Perez. He shot 4 over 76 last year. Collapsed on Sunday, but he was 6 under going into the... No, he was 10 under going into the day. Shot 4 over last year. Take Pat Perez. He's not playing well this year, but he's going to play well. And then here's my classic. You know, you got to pick a top 5 player coming in, one of the good guys. I got JT. He's hot. He's pissed off at what he did at the Genesis. So I'm taking JT for kind of my go-getter, but my three divers are Pat Perez, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, and Sergio Garcia. These things are mortal locks. Put money on it, I'm telling you.
Mortal locks, all three to win.
All three.
I like that. Well, before I get into my picks, I want to, you know, give the viewers a little bit of a heads up. I totally disagree with your Sergio pick. Okay. I'm surprised he made the cut this week. I believe he finished in the mid-30s range on the leaderboard. You know, this whole Kuchar thing has been a little overshadowing, and he's been fortunate that there's no video.
So fortunate.
And some are calling it a cover-up on the European Tour side. Obviously, Eric Van Rooyen, good friend of the pod, big Euro guy. And so that, you know, hopefully more to come.
More to come on that front, but yeah.
But I do want to touch on this track. You know, a lot of... most of the years you're getting these greens, they're bouncing. You'll recall JT, I think, had a hole-in-one one of the years.
Yep.
Hit like a 6-iron, lands on the front of the green, bounces 30, 40 feet, goes in the hole. So when I look at this tournament, I think you either have to have guys that are locked into their numbers. That's why I'm picking Bryson DeChambeau. He's got all the calculations down to a science. I can guarantee it. I like Bryson this week. Also, you got to have a little bit of imagination out there. I like Bubba. I'm not a Bubba guy. Like Jack said, we only bet with the anticipation of winning money.
Right.
This isn't an emotional pick. This is not who I'm rooting for. I like Bubba, though. He'll play well this week. Finally, Ricky Fowler. These greens are sneaky, sneaky quick. One of the best putting strokes on tour.
Agreed.
He's showed some great form, obviously winning a couple weeks ago. Those are my three picks for this week.
Yeah, and I'm in the doghouse with my betting this past week. I mean, I was flirting around with NCAA. I think I even snuck in a women's Japanese basketball game in there. I mean, totally fucked up, and I'm taking a hurt this week, but I'll bounce back. Take these mortal locks.
Speaking of NCAA and Abu Dhabi, Link, I know you've been following one of the players that played well in that tournament. Obviously, all the media attention went to DJ winning and Sergio screwing up those greens. But, you know, Link, I know you had something on that.
Minwoo Lee, keep your ears listening to
that
name
again.
Minwoo Lee.
Just so everyone can hear
that. He is going to be a mortal lock pick down the line. He's a youngling. Skip the college route. Turn pro.
Said fuck it.
Yeah, screw it. I'm done with it.
Nice.
No.
Wow.
Won the Junior Am in 2016. 6 sponsors this year. I think, you know,
the U.S. Junior Am.
The U.S. Junior Am.
Which you played in.
Yes, I did.
Nice. And where was that?
That was in Tennessee.
So keep your eyes peeled for Minwoo Lee.
Minwoo Lee.
We don't know where he'll show up, but we expect to see him on some leaderboard somewhere this year. All right. And so that's a little shorter Caddyshack episode this week. Stay tuned to our social media accounts. We're going to start posting matchups, posting who we like. Obviously, you heard the mortal locks already from Jack, so, you know, get those in once the slips open up.
Yeah.
That being said,
I got a little something.
Okay.
All right, let's just hop into this. Me and Lincoln, we're going down to North Scottsdale this coming weekend. Give you a little bit of background on the course. It's called Tonto Verde Golf Club. Fantastic course, built in 1992. Two courses, golf community that overlooks about 692 acres of land in North Scottsdale. It's fantastic. Nice courses, nice greens. Lincoln, let's get a little bit into this. I actually haven't played a golf round where I can keep the flag stick in during a round. I know we're going to play this weekend. At the collegiate level, what do you see D1 guys doing? Are they pulling it? Are they keeping it in? What's going on?
I mean, it's kind of it's either you're in or you're out type deal. I mean, you see guys keeping it in. You see guys taking it out.
Anything going, like, does any of that reflect mental fortitude?
I mean, there's things you can say here and there about aiming at the smaller target within the pin. I see a lot of guys keeping it in on 30-footers for a vision thing, but the majority of the guys are taking it out for your 10, 20-footers that you're trying to make.
Okay. Good one. So there's two courses at Tonto Verde. We have the ranch course that gets a little bit north into Scottsdale. It overlooks kind of some of the mountains, a little bit more rustic, longer course. And then we have our Peaks course, which is your traditional kind of resort course, a little bit more, you know, it's a little bit less stringent off the tee box. And greens on both of them are phenomenal. But Lincoln, let's hear a little bit about maybe your best round at Tonto Verde.
But before we go to Lincoln here, I do want to add before I forget, these tracks are famous because you'll see them on the GX7 commercials on Golf Channel. I'm sure you guys are seeing those. I don't know who actually buys those clubs.
I don't really know who would do that.
Regardless, you'll see Tonto. That's the range that they're on.
Lincoln, let's hear a little bit about it. Give us a little overview on the course, and let's talk about maybe your favorite between the two courses, your low round, what the courses involve, what kind of golf it is. Let's hear it.
So Tonto Verde kind of holds a special place for me. Shot my first bogey-free round down there.
Nice.
66, that's my best score down there. Okay. It was on the ranch course. Okay. I'm going to go with that as my favorite course.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Nice.
And
what would I give at 17 to shoot 66?
Peaks course provides a little bit more of a challenge. It's a shorter course. You got to keep it in the fairway more, whereas ranch, you can kind of spray and pray quite a bit more. It's right up my alley.
Solid spray and pray. Yeah, you're a little bit wild off the tee box.
And that happens.
And then down in Scottsdale and Mac, feel free to jump in here. Tonto's a great golf course, but it's probably not our favorite in the area. I want to hear, what's your favorite course in kind of the greater Phoenix area?
Greater Phoenix area. I am going to go with True North.
True North, nice.
Very popular course down there. It's one that I've fallen in love with. Another course right next to that, the Boulders.
That's a great course.
Fantastic views, course. Great venue. I love it.
Yep. Mac, have you gotten down there to play a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, I really enjoy the Desert Mountain tracks.
Outlaw,
you know, specifically.
Desert Mountain, just for those that don't know, they have 7 courses down there. It's a fantastic facility. A
lot of great venues. Obviously not the cheapest place to play, but we're excited to have a Who's Your Caddy podcast member and guest headed down there for another course review. We're hoping to do a lot more of these. But with that said, Lincoln, obviously in the Big Ten, you know, you're playing a lot of different courses. When you show up to the courses, how do you go at attacking these? I mean, you guys are playing at the top level. You see a course. Do you pull the Bryson and you're working green back? How do you get adjusted to these new tracks when you're playing it?
Good question.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different approaches you can take. We have our standard practice round before the tournament where...
So what are you doing in the practice round?
So I like to break it down. Like you said, I'll look back from the green back to the tee.
You do that?
I do that. Okay. See how I'm going to play it, see where I want to come in from.
So this is kind of a bold thing, but you'd recommend our listeners, I don't care what handicap you are, to look at golf courses and think, how can I do this from green to tee box?
It's definitely...
And explain that.
It's definitely something that you could look into. But I like it personally because if I'm standing on the green looking back at a tee, I'm going to see the widest parts of the fairway. I'm going to see where you don't want to go.
Nice.
Obviously, we don't always hit it where we're not supposed to go.
Right.
But there's areas where you try to avoid at all costs. But I'm going to go out and say I'm not a huge practice round guy, though.
Nice.
I like that.
Neither am I, honestly.
You know,
it's bullshit.
You're playing for
5-6 hours out
there? Yeah, it's
notoriously
ridiculous.
Long rounds.
So long.
I mean, I like to put a score down. I might hit the occasional putt or two here, chip or two there, but it's just not me.
Yeah.
So as you get through hole one and hole two, you know, obviously you're strategizing. Are you taking any notes? Are you mapping out the greens? Are you writing down percentages? What are you doing out there from hole to hole?
So mainly for me, one thing that I'll do is I'll look for dots on the greens where pins will be. I'll mark down some easy putts to have to some of those pins. I'll also kind of look at the tee. Look, when I'm standing on the tee, what clubs will get me where. I'll hit a 3-wood, a driver, a hybrid iron type deal here and there. And then par threes, I'm laying out 3 clubs that I can choose from depending on wind and pins.
Okay, that's good to hear. hate to bring back the story, but no one asked me about my favorite courses in Scottsdale, so I'm going to...
Jack, what's your favorite
course? Yeah, I'm going to come back in and get hot. So, obviously, love Tonto Verde. Boulder's great course. True North, great course. Another low-key course down in the Phoenix greater area, Quintero. You have spectacular views. It's a very challenging golf course. That's a
public track.
Public track. Quintero, they're actually a good friend of the pod. They really support what we're doing over here. And I like Quintero a lot. And also, another friend of the pod, we brought him up a few times, but Grady Meyer, he's a fellow golfer player with Lincoln there. He got me out to Estancia, which was my favorite in the area for...
Yeah, very prestigious track.
Yeah, I was lucky to get out there. They shouldn't let scrubs like me out there, but they did, and it's really great, so...
Jack, let me ask you this. What's your handicap at right now?
My handicap right now, it's right at a 0.0.
Okay.
And I do not feel confident with that. I'm going in next weekend playing at a zero. I'll be fucking so pumped if I break anything under 76.
Well, hey, I wish you the best.
Thanks,
Link, brother. Link, do you carry a handicap?
I do.
Where are we sitting at right now?
We're sitting at +3, which is not very good for these trips, as I'm giving strokes out every which way.
It's a hard handicap to play.
It's tough.
I mean, it's a bad world where Lincoln steps on a tee box and has to give Jack Cummings 3 strokes. That's
absurd.
That's tough.
So that being said, we're in the middle of February here in Minnesota. Obviously, you know, Minnesota Gophers, they're known for their academia.
Mm-hmm.
What is the typical day in the life of a Division I college golfer look like, balancing school, balancing, you know, off the course activities, and then putting in the practice time?
Yeah, what's your day to day?
So day to day, kind of low key watching the golf, obviously. Oh, nice. Sundays, it's our relaxation, but Monday, going right into it. Workouts, 6 a.m., getting right to it, wake you up in the morning. Nice. Then you got jump into class, got 3 classes from 8 o'clock till 12:30. Right after class, I jump into practice. Practice 2.5 hours long, working on many different things.
Break that down for me. Are you guys working short game for 1.5 hours, long game, or does it just depend on the day?
And keep in consideration as well, we got, you know, guys that really, they link. You might not think your practice sessions are that valuable, but some of these guys could really benefit from hearing your ins and outs of your regimen. So let's go through it. You're there for how long?
There for about 2.5 hours.
And let's go through that.
All right, typical practice session for me looks like this. So I get there, I'm grabbing the putter first. Mm-hmm. First 30 minutes, I'm working on fundamentals. I'm hitting short putts. I might dive into some long putts, some leg putting, get the speeds down.
Okay.
Then I might grab the wedge, start chipping around a little bit, get the feels, start hitting different types of shots, bumping runs, flop high shots that land soft. And then I'm going to jump into the hitting bays with about 1 hour or so left.
Okay.
And I'm going to work on wedges from 50 yards to 100 yards, dialing some of those distances. And then just kind of get into the fundamental things with the 7-irons, 6-irons, and your drivers.
But if you had to give one piece of advice for a weekend warrior, 10 handicap, 20 handicap kind of guy, should he be focusing on the range the whole time, or should he be putting, or what do you think?
You know, your typical weekend warrior, I'm a caddy at multiple courses, and I like to...
Who's your caddy pod?
Yep.
And I like to think that I've come some expertise in this weekend warrior area. And I see a lot of guys losing strokes on the greens.
Yeah.
They just, you know what, they
like
saddle
JT
up
today, on, 4-putt, yes, 3-putt, yes. It goes all the way to your 10 handicap.
What's the saying? Drive for show and putt for
dough. Exactly. You got these guys, they're Friday nights, they're grabbing a bucket of balls and they're sitting on the range when they should be on the putting green.
Yeah.
It's just the reality of
Agreed.
It. So.
So that's my practice, take. Then you're going back, you're hitting the books, what are you doing?
Yeah, so that's practice, and then I gotta get some grub in there, I gotta get some food in me.
Okay.
And that's 5 to 6, and then I got tutoring from 7 to 9.
So you're booked up.
Booked up. Hit the hay,
that's
do it all
tax
over again.
Taxpaying dollars are going to, ladies and gentlemen. But no, that's good to hear the recap. I like it. But that just about does it for our
Yeah, but before we wrap this up, I know, you know, Lincoln only has this, you know, a certain amount of time. He's got a busy week coming up. we're looking at your schedule. We see, obviously, Big Ten tournaments coming up. You got a busy summer schedule. If you were to pick one tournament to win, which tournament is it and why? Let's hear it.
One tournament I'd have to win, I would love to compete at the Big Ten tournament at the end of the year with my teammates. I'd love to throw a banner up.
When is that in May?
Yes, that's in May.
April. You win that, you go to the big house, right?
It's a start, yes. It gets you on the road to going to NCAAs and obviously get the ball rolling there.
Where is that tournament this year?
The NCAAs are being played down in Arizona, actually, in the greater Phoenix area. Really? Local course called Greyhawk.
And you're a big fan of Greyhawk.
Huge fan of Greyhawk.
Might have played well there a couple times.
Might have played there a couple times down, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. And another question just going off of that, now that we're on the topic. You're coming in hot. You had a good fall season. And as a, you know, a friendly friend of the pod, we really enjoyed that. We liked seeing you compete. Let's walk through your tournament at Windsong Farms, Gopher home tournament. You know, you're playing pretty well. What'd you shoot the first day?
First day I shot 73, 69, and then followed up with a 71 the last day.
Very solid. One of the hardest tracks in the state.
Yeah, and let's go through that. I mean, were your nerves high? Were they low? How were you feeling out there? It's a tough track. What you got, top 20, top 30?
I was T11.
T11, there you go. So I mean, was that the, you know, most nervous you've been all year or what?
So I got my nerves out in my qualifying round, pre-tournament. Mm-hmm. So I'd been playing Windsong all summer. I felt pretty confident. And my first qualifying round, I step up and I bogeyed the first 10 holes.
Nice.
The first 10.
Couldn't keep it.
10 holes. Shot 45?
45. Couldn't keep it on the planet. And then I proceeded to go one under from there on out. And I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Next day, I make 7 birdies and shoot 68.
There you go.
So
that'll lock up your spot.
That locked it up, and my nerves pretty much went away at that point. But nice.
Fantastic.
Well, Link, we really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for
great to have you on the pod. Obviously, we'll be following along. We hope to get maybe a little recap after the boys' weekend.
Would love to.
In Tonto.
Yep.
So stay tuned for that. Coming up, we'll check our social media. We're going to be posting, you know, one of our main focuses is the gambling side of it. And, you know, without odds being out yet, mm-hmm. it's hard to do that. So keep an eye out for those. Vote on our matchups this week. And Link, wish you guys the best of luck. We'll be following the Gophers this spring.
Yeah, boys, I appreciate it. As always, it's an honor.
Yeah, love it.
Hit it hard.
Good week, boys.
Hit balls for maybe 20 minutes, putt a little bit, smoke 4 or 5 cigarettes, drink 3 Diet Cokes, and go to the first tee. Some days I won't even go to the range. Said she turned little money, need a big boy. Pull up 20 inch blades like I'm Lil Troy. Now it's everybody flocking, need a decoy. Shorty mixing up the vodka with the liquor. G-Wagon, 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 all the housewives pulling up. I got a lot of toys, 720S pumping Fallout Boy. You was talking shit in the beginning, back when I was feeling unforgiving. I know I pissed you off to see me winning. See the ink glue in my mouth and I be grinning. Yeah. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. 100 deep when I roll like the army. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying why. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. You and your grandma probably know me. These bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying wow. Everywhere I go, catch me on the block like a Mutombo. 750 Lambo in the Utah snow. Trunk in the front like a shit Dumbo. Cut the roof off like a nip tuck. Pull up to the house with some big butts. Turn the kitchen counter to a strip club. Me and Dre came for the. When I got quiet, all of y'all disappear. Before I drive Sony, none of y'all really care. Now they always say congratulations to the kid. And this is not a 40, but I'm pouring out this shit. You serve a lot, but I got more now. Made another hit, cause I got butt now. Always going for it, never pump fourth down. Last call, Hail Mary, Prescott, touchdown, hey.